December came, and still no arrests had been made. For nearly 6 months, Pengo had been living in a state of official limbo. He had few people to talk with about his predicament, so for the most part, he learned to live alone with the secret. When it came time to go to the annual chaos meeting in Hamburg just after Christmas, Pengo welcomed the chance to get out of West Berlin. The turnout at the 1988 conference was smaller than it had been in previous years. Nervous parents, by now well aware of the hacker culture, kept their teenagers away because of the club's increasingly sullied reputation. Breaking into computers was now against the law, and that was deterrent enough for some would-be hackers. What was more, the Bundespost's new security measures on the DATEX P network had made casual hacking much more difficult. Many of those who still hacked, working on the principle that solitary work was safer, kept their distance from the chaos crowd. And for those who did attend the meeting, much of the time was taken up with ruminating over politics. A network for exchanging information on environmental protection was planned, and the groundwork was laid for a push for a law that would mirror the U.S. Freedom of Information Act. To the hardcore hackers in the group, such talk just seemed to prove that chaos was losing its way. But for Pengo, going to the conference was a way to pretend that nothing had happened. In some ways, it seemed like old times. Obelix picked him up at the airport in his mother's Mercedes, and once he got to the conference, Pengo immediately felt better. In spite of the laws against hacking, nearly 2 years old now, those who counted themselves among the hardcore couldn't help but stay up through the night trying to get into what computers they could. Pengo was now well known to the crowd. Those who didn't know him certainly knew of him. At 20, he was already a veteran. Some self-styled hackers had little skill beyond collecting passwords from others. Pengo was famous as an elite hacker, one who could also program. He was famous for being from Berlin. He was famous for having stayed out of trouble. And the fact that when he did get into trouble, he outsmarted the police by hiding his hard disk was the stuff of Chaos Club lore. The younger hackers were in awe of him. After all, he had the reputation as one of the first to crack Philips and Thomson Brandt computers in France. Throughout the 3-day meeting, Pengo was followed around by reporters and television cameras. In fluent English, a language whose American vernacular he picked up on the computer networks and electronic bulletin boards he frequented, Pengo chatted amiably and self-confidently into the viewfinder of a BBC TV journalist doing a documentary on European hackers. When he talked about the Chaos Vaxbusters, he said, "We thought we were the best. I don't know if we were." Pengo was a particular favorite among the West German journalists. He was always willing to sit down for a long interview with a local newspaper reporter, chain-smoking his hand-rolled cigarettes as he described some of his best hacks. Pengo dipped in and out of the individual conference sessions, leaning casually against doorframes, his stance that of someone accustomed to situating himself next to the closest exit. At a session on the future of chaos, with a note of irritation in his voice, Pengo spoke up. He told those in the room that he was unhappy with where he saw chaos going. To a strictly technical hacker like Pengo, chaos's political direction was unacceptable. Concentrating on things like environmental protection, he told them, was diverting the group from its technical origins. It was little wonder, he said, that the truly talented hackers were beginning to abandon the club. It had nothing to do with the espionage investigations that were underway, but rumors were beginning to circulate among the Hamburg crowd that someone was betraying them. Working for the West German government, Vau Holland suspected that there was a plant somewhere inside the Chaos Club's ranks, but no one had a specific reason to suspect anyone of espionage, and Pengo was relieved to see that Vau's suspicion was directed at others. Hagbard wasn't there this year, and no one appeared to miss him.